Uh-oh.
The Ray Foley Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
A Today FM original podcast.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!
Ireland, and indeed the world. Thanks for downloading our little podcast. Giggity, giggity, goo. I'm on Instagram at Ray Foley Insta. You can email at any stage with regard to any complaints you have about the quality or inconsistency of the podcast. JP at todayfm.com is that email address. Got it? Got it. Great. And we've just got the sad news that Shane McGowan has passed away. Never met him. Did you ever meet him?
I never met him, no.
He'd be one of those people, throughout my career, I have met lots of people that I find utterly terrifying. Like, there's people that you go, that you immediately know based on their public persona or their brand, that you'd be like, ah, yeah, that's fine. That's going to be grand. Like, the 6 o'clock show was a great one. The radio is different, even, because on the radio, the radio's much more my show, I suppose. So it's usually like someone I might fancy talking to that I'll talk to on the radio.
You're in control.
Yeah, whereas on the telly, it's produced by other people and they don't ask you, how do you think you might get on with, for instance, Shane McGowan? They'll just book Shane McGowan and say, Shane McGowan's on tonight, you're going to be interviewing him. And then you brick it. There have been a handful of people down through the years on the 6 o'clock show that have been booked. And I've gone, oh no, we can't. No, we can't do that.
And is this because they're kind of wild card elements? They're slightly unpredictable. You just don't know how that would go.
There's that. And then there's also personal history.
Okay.
Yeah. We can get to that in a minute. But Shane McGowan, I would think that I would just be terrified of. And then that in itself, that the existence of my terror would mean that it would be rubbish. The interview would be rubbish because you'd have me just like sweating it. Just absolutely petrified that this is going to go off the rails at any point.
I think that is the bargain you strike with him, isn't it? If you're getting Shane McGowan on your show, that is the bargain you have struck. That's a contract that's been sealed. I think of him in my head as a Late Late Show guest. He exists in my head kind of as a Late Late Show guest.
Gabo,
he's been on loads of times. Yeah.
Gabo Late Late Show. And then what would his contribution have been? Like, would he have been, I don't know, lucid together or confrontational? I don't imagine he, like, I know what his material is, like the music generally, aside from Fairy Tale, quite confrontational, argy bargy, angry, rock and roll, of course. But as an individual, would he have been difficult on the what was your memories of that?
He could be loose, sometimes looser than others. I don't think he would be aggro with the host and presenter, not necessarily, but you just wouldn't know what a free spirit like him would do.
That's it.
On the couch.
That's actually, that's a big risk. Aside from necessarily aggro or argy-bargy or confrontational or that type of fear, it would be the type of individual that is a free spirit, that is inclined to say anything. If they feel it, they'll say it. And then you're in a position of like, okay, we're back after these. We're cooking chicken curry in the kitchen.
Like, do you remember?
Fuck my life.
I want to call my wife. Do you remember Oliver Reed on the UK chat shows? Similar kind of vibe with that kind of guest. You know, this could go anywhere, but that's why they're booked. That's the reason they're booked.
My biggies on the 6 o'clock show then, that I, you know, because the way it works is you get out there for around, well, officially you're supposed to be there by 3:30. I arrive at 4:05. And then they hand you the list, the running order, like of who's on tonight. And we're going to go through the briefs and prep the interviews and get all the material together. Now, the thing is, with that show, it's a show of 4 parts, each part about 7 or 8 minutes. None of the interviews are going to be an hour long. They're just going to be a few minutes of questions about general stuff. And then whatever it is generally they're there to plug, if there is something that they need to mention, get the plug in as well, and then into the ad break. We're back in the kitchen cooking chicken curry after these. Right?
That would present in my head, as not a TV presenter, a couple of challenges.
Go on.
If you have somebody that has an amazing story and has had a lifetime of experiences and you're trying to squeeze that into 7 minutes, you're not going to get to the book or the thing they're plugging until the end. That'll be a footnote.
Nightmare.
But you want to have no rapport, no time to build up any kind of rhythm in the conversation, and it's straight to the highlights. So you're going, so I believe in 1985 you murdered somebody.
Yeah.
Thanks. Sit down on the couch and tell us about that.
Well, there's some people, I've worked with dozens of people on it, like co-presenters, and some of them would do that. They wouldn't build up any, they wouldn't even warm up the guest. It would be straight away, and it would be quite blunt, like, for instance, you had a row with an actor on the new film, say, that's one. So it would be straight away, tell us about the row you had with the such and such actor on the film. And it's like, no, you can't. You can't open like that. What you'd have to do is, and it's, you've only got 7 or 8 minutes, so you're flipping the coin. If you want to ask the actor about the row that they had with another actor on the film, first of all, you need to go, so you're in this new film. That's question one. Mm. Write that off, yeah. Right? Let them answer that. Then they're warming up. Then the next question was, and how was the experience working on the film? Like, what was it like behind the scenes? And then hope, that's two. And then hopefully they will divulge what happened. And then after that, you'll do a kind of a, because hopefully they would have gotten the signal from the second one, or we're getting towards that. The third one then will be, and I believe there was a, tell us about JP. He was, well, what was he like to work with? And then you'll actually get to the story. But then you're burning through three questions out of maybe 7 or 8 in total. So you do not have time.
The other thing is, if you go hard early, do you risk souring the interview? So if you ask the hard question early and you know you've got another 6 minutes afterwards, is it just going to be 6 minutes of frostiness for the rest of the interview?
I did it for nearly 7 years, that show. And in the early days, I was, like I was when I was young here doing the radio, I would be nervous about pissing off interviewees. Whereas the longer I was doing it, and the more, bored is a strong word, but the less excited I was about doing live telly. For my own entertainment, depending on the guest, I would almost relish getting into or seeing, getting a bit spiky and seeing where this can go. I'm just going to say it and then see how they react to it. Because I've been doing this for longer than they have. This is their only appearance on the telly this week. So let's see what can happen here. Let's stir up the pot.
Well, I suppose it depends if they're, as a guest, prepared for that tricky question. Because thinking about the likes of Graham Norton, when you watch Graham Norton, you can absolutely see the moments and the points at which some researcher in the days and weeks before that show has approached the agent of the guest or the guest themselves, had a conversation with them, a long conversation, and said, by the way, give us an interesting story. Give us a funny story. Give us something you have never told anybody else. So they've got all this research done on a show like the 6 o'clock show.
There aren't 25 researchers working on it.
So there's no prep done beforehand with the guest.
Actually, they're genuinely, this is so lovely now, but they're actually amazing. The researchers that work on that show, they do way more than you would get elsewhere. I'm aware of this. And they do, like in the week before you're on, I've known this as a guest before I ever worked on the show. They ring you up and they go through everything, like, not that kind of thing necessarily, like tell us something that you've never told anyone before, but like they would have done some research based on just search, Googling and Wikipedia and social media. And then asked you questions then, before you ever got on the telly, asked you questions down the phone of like, I saw you sharing a photograph of your baby. How's that going? Like just random shit. Just like chat for like an hour. And they write everything down. Everything. And then the hosts and the producers can go and look at all that stuff and go, that's kind of cool because I've got a story similar to that, or blah, blah, blah. Or that's interesting. Or actually, if we asked that, then that would get us to the book or to the film story or whatever. But they have to do so much shit talk with the guests before the shit talk with the presenters has to happen. It's like, it's amazing the amount of work they put in. It's mind-boggling. So, the people that have been booked on the 6 o'clock show while I was working on the 6 o'clock show.
Yes, here we go.
Boom!
Taking names.
Number one, and my greatest fear, the one I was most worried about, I think, was probably Tom Dooley.
What?
Yeah.
Cuddly Tom Dooley.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, he and I we exchanged some spikiness.
You got into a feud with Tom Dooley
on Twitter years ago when I was a 20-something-year-old dickhead, right?
Right.
Almost certainly my fault and my doings.
Okay.
And he, in fairness, he said some unkind things about me and the show. Tom Dooley
took it upon himself to fire shots at your show on the radio.
About this radio
show. That's random.
Back in the day, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right?
Okay.
So then I went for it. And sure. I think maybe I went a bit too far on the... So, and then there was a few different things. Like, he had been on You know, he was on The Restaurant. He was a judge on The Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, can I just say, I actually quite like Tom Dooley now. I can tell
Paolo
you.
Paolo Tulli, on the other hand.
Don't get me started on Paolo R.I.P. He was on The Restaurant one night and he was in a sling, right? And he had broken his wrist or something, or his arm. His arm was in a sling, and then over his shoulders was draped his jacket.
Yeah, I've seen that look before.
So I was saying he looks like a granny. That, do you know the way grannies would have the cardigan thrown over their shoulders?
So the arm's not in the sleeves, just resting over them.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said on Twitter, because it was The Restaurant, it was TV3 times, I think. And this is following like a years old previous feud that I'd had where he was slagging off the radio show. I said, Tom Dooley with his arm in a sling, he looks like an old granny.
Zinger.
That was it. That's all I said. Mm. I didn't tag him on it.
But somebody sent it on to him.
But he saw it and he replied to it. And he said something along the lines of, oh yeah, very mature. I actually broke my arm in three places. It's been a horrific ordeal. But thank you so much for watching, or something like that, right? And I just sent him back a photograph, Google image search, angry granny, Zimmer frame.
So you didn't go for the sympathy vote on the broken arm?
Absolutely not.
Right.
I just said it was a granny holding up either a cane or a Zimmer frame, angrily shaking it at the camera.
And this is all in public. These aren't DMs. These are public tweets to each other.
There were public tweets, yeah.
Perfect, yeah. Great.
So then he's booked to come on the show. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
How's the arm, Tom?
Oh, Tom, how are you getting on? Two-handed Tom. He's just booked to come on. And he comes on and he was as nice as pie. And I was also as nice as pie. I was sheepish, of course. My sheepish self, nice as pie. And then after, to his credit, once it was all done and dusted, he was waiting for a taxi or whatever, and I was going out. I said, thanks for coming, Tom. Nice to meet you in person. And he said, listen, I didn't know what to expect, but it was a great time and it was great to meet you. And I kind of thought, yeah, we're good now, me and Tom.
So the beef has been squashed.
The beef was squashed. Next one. Next
beef.
Oh, my
God. Which other injured celebrity did you fire shots at?
This is exactly it. Her name is Blonidney Coffig.
I know her. You picked a fight with Blonid.
You were with me. You were with me.
Whoa. You, Ray Foley, picked a fight with Blonidney Coffig.
Here? On the old lunchtime show?
Sure. Whose name is over the door?
We did a whole thing. We did a whole lot. Do you remember I don't even remember what we did. But we did a thing about Fiona Looney. Every time we mentioned Fiona Looney's name, we would go...
There would be a dry rash.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that is awful.
That's a terrible, immature, stupid thing to do.
Yep.
But we did that, and I have nothing but regrets about that as well. Well, yeah, it's a balanced thing, right? I regret doing a thing about a person who exists that would have heard about it, right? And also a person I don't know and don't have any real opinion on. It was just a thing that we created that stuck. It was like, oh, Fiona Looney was on this morning. Or Fiona, what was it? Fiona Looney has a new play. Where Fiona Looney's on the front of the Daily Mail this morning. Oh my God. There was nothing in it.
It didn't mean anything.
No.
Like it didn't relate to anything.
It was utter nonsense. But of course, perfectly legitimately.
Obviously.
This person who exists, Fiona Looney, absolutely hates me because of the whole Fiona Looney thing. And rightly so. Mm. There was a similar thing we did for weeks and weeks, likely months and months, about Blonidney Coffig. I don't even for the life of me remember what it is.
I can't remember either.
JP@todayfm.com if you do. But I remember, and I remember she was booked. And once again, it was, oh, Jesus.
So did she? So you couldn't? You didn't have a power of veto and say,
"No, you don't.
This can't happen."
No, you don't,
guys. You don't know what you're dealing with here.
I've only ever vetoed one guest,
right? Okay,
and it was only following two interviews that we'd done before. I'm not going to name them. Two interviews that we'd done before. They've been on twice before with me, and they were absolute pricks.
Okay.
So it wasn't even really a veto. They just said, following of the producer said, oh, there was a thing, wasn't there? And I said, yeah, listen, I prefer not to. That was the only time I ever exercised a veto. So anyway, Blonid was coming on and I was bricking it, but maybe following my Tom Dooley thing, I was like, we'll see where this goes. And let me tell you, my friend, she was great crack. And again, there was, I don't think we ever actually spoke about it. Maybe we did. Jeez, my memory's shot. But again, I think there was a sort of a tacit sort of lovely to meet you kind of thing. Mm. And she came on a number of times after that. And I think I've spoken to her on the radio and stuff as well. She, truly great crack. A bit bonkers, but then again, aren't we all? And thoroughly enjoyed. Do you know what? You should book her for the radio.
Isn't that what it is, though? These people are radio pros. So media pros. So Blondin's a media pro. Tom Durley's a media pro. They're going to get along to get along. Do you know what I mean?
Now, it has worked the other way as well. Oh, Jesus.
Why do we reckon over these long dead, long extinguished old coals?
Let's leave it then.
No, that was really enjoyable.
I'm happy to leave it.
Okay.
There was a booking. You see, now we're getting into a different thing where there was a booking where the guest was booked and they thought they were coming on a regular Monday to Thursday show. And I used to present every Friday night and they were booked on, I think, a Friday, or maybe I was on during the week for Martin or something. And once they heard it was me presenting, they pulled out at an hour's notice. Oof. And left the show completely in the lurch.
That's the opposite of being a media pro.
Yeah, that's utterly disgustingly, that's just bad juju. If anyone wants to know who they are, you can just contact me on Insta and I'll let you know.
He's joking.
I'm just joking. I'm over it. God.
Remembered that story.
Water under the bridge. Yeah. Ray Foley never holds a grudge. Anyway, I got new photographs. I put those up on my Insta. Speaking of Instagram, we got new photographs taken for the website. What?
I hate the photograph that I'm featured in.
Do you?
Yeah.
They sent us the photographs, and in fairness, I only like one of them, and I put up the one that I like.
Good call, yeah.
The rest of them I could do without, frankly. But there's one good photograph of me, and I put it up on my Insta. And now everyone once again, is like, oh, moving to lunchtimes. This is the photo shoot for the new show.
Big things coming.
Thanks for all the messages. But I can't talk about that.
They've said not a word, Ray. Not a word.
They said not to say anything. Okay. So, and these are the photographs, of course, that we took in a studio. His name is Evan Doherty. We were there for like an hour and a half, getting our photographs taken by a lovely gentleman by the name of Evan Doherty.
His name was right beside the door when we went in. It was right there, Evan Doherty.
Evan.
Yeah.
He's done photographs with Post Malone, actually. He's
famous.
He's gone viral for some Post Malone photographs.
Evan Doherty's gone viral.
Evan Doherty. Perfect. Evan spelled E-V-A-N.
Mm.
Evan. So we start getting our photograph taken. And then in the middle of it, JP starts doing that old man thing of putting the photographer's name at the end of every sentence as he's talking to him.
I was unaware of this at the time.
So he's like, is that all right, Evan? Is that okay, Evan? Do I stand like this, Evan? So do you want me in this one, Evan?
Or I'm trying to build a rapport with Evan Doherty.
Do you want me to change my shirt, Evan? Except JP is no longer saying Evan. He's saying Enda. So JP says, is that okay, Enda? Will I sit over here, Enda? Do you want me to stand like this, Enda? Do you want more of a smile, Enda? They put a load of makeup on me, Enda. Isn't that gas, Enda?
As somebody who gets called PJ all of the time, at least once a day, every day, I really should know better.
Unbelievable scenes. So eventually, after a good 10 minutes.
Oh, you let me twist in the wind plenty long, yeah.
Well, I couldn't step forward in the middle of it.
You could have just said, JP can have a word or something.
What, like in front of an entire room
full
of people?
And then immediately I would have been like, oh yes, Evan, that looks great. Yes, thank you.
Well, I should have just done in front of an entire room, like with 12 or 15 people, other people in the room.
Yeah.
Just put my hand up against my face and into your ear gone, it's Evan, you flute. Evan, not Ender. Ridiculous, carry on. So apologies to
Evan
Enda Delaney, the photographer. You can check out. I've lost 3.5 stone and you can't see it. Thank you very much. Thanks for downloading the podcast. JP at todayfm.com.
Uh-oh. Ray Foley. Weekday afternoons from 2 on Today FM.
I love the show. Hey.